Detroit sports legend, teachers speak for days. Lions roar in classrooms, hear the praise. Wolverines tearing up the field, no delay. History lessons, throwbacks to old ball plays. Red wings on a chalkboard, hockey sticks in hand. Stanley Cup dreams, discuss it in the teacher's land. Tigers roar, classrooms fill the grandstand. Middle school halls roaring louder than the marching band. Lions roars in hometown pride. Wolverines on fire, red wings fly high. Inspiring minds with desire. Tigers bring the heat, classrooms never tire. Spartans rise to greatness, teachers lift their spirits higher.
Okay. All right, so we're back. It's been a while. All right, so it is October 31st. We did one last year, October 31st. It was
How about that?
It was a trade deadline. Yeah, so we are probably the most inconsistent podcast in the history of podcasting. Last podcast was January 17th, as I said previously on Teachers Talking Sports. We had James, Dave, Drew, Mark, and Corey. Dave's on special assignment right now.
Special assignment.
Yeah, special assignment. Is yours on? I think it is.
How do we know?
Talk.
Hey, everybody.
No, you're not. Talk.
Hello, everybody. Oh,
yeah, I hear you.
What about me?
Nuggle.
Hey, everybody.
There we go. Now we got you. All right. It was a button. All right. So we were talking about who the Lions were going to play after the Commanders.
Boy, did we jump the gun on that one.
Yeah, we kind of. Yeah, and then I had some issues with Scott Harris, to be continued.
We still do.
Yeah, I've made two phone calls the last 2 days to 97.1.
I'm always excited when I'm listening, and they're like, we got Corey from Livonia. There's a second Corey from Livonia.
I know, I got to find this guy.
This one guy called in, and I was so disappointed when I heard his voice. I'm like, who is that?
It wasn't the wrong Corey.
It wasn't me. I know. Yeah, I know. Adam texted me last night. He goes, nice take on Valeni. I'm like, thanks.
How often in a month do you call in? On average, would you say?
Maybe twice.
Okay.
It's
usually when Valeni's
the Valeni show's hard because everyone calls. So like I'm on hold all the time, for that, and I never like. There's times I'll pull up. I'm like,
I'll tell you the
no
one
one's calling Costa, so I get in pretty good there.
The one you can get in pretty easily is the Pat Caputo.
Is that right?
It's like he's like begging.
I'm not stepping. That's James' domain. I'm not stepping. Please, on that.
I got people that need to be called in.
Oh yeah, yeah. But that's James. I'm not gonna step on his toes. I've called Pat once, and he kind of treated me the way he treated you.
Yeah,
poorly. Like you don't know anything.
That's such a nice guy.
All right, so it is Happy Halloween, guys. So do we want to start with dread and despair, or do we want to start with hope and happiness?
Let's get the ugly stuff out the way.
So we're gonna talk a little Scooble. Is that the ugly stuff?
I was just gonna say.
For me, that's the ugly stuff.
I don't think we're very hopeful, are we?
No. So I'm gonna wait. I'm not gonna lead the show on this one. You guys go ahead first. And what do you think is gonna happen to Scooble?
All right.
Good, Drew.
First. Personally, I'm on team don't pay him. That's my personal. I was on that last year. I thought we should have traded him before the season last year. Because my logic was I didn't think that we were going to fully go all in last year to win a World Series, which we didn't. I feel like if you're going to spend $15 million on Alex Cobb and get the Montero guy. And
how many innings we got out of Alex Cobb this year?
That's a big, fat donut. I pitched as many as he did, actually. So for my thing, I feel like they should have traded him last year if they weren't going to be serious about re-signing him. Or I thought they should have gone all in, pushed the chips in, and gone for it, you know? And I'm kind of in a similar boat now. I lean 70% to trading him because I think that sets up the organization long-term better. But if Scott Harris pushed the chips in and actually played in free agency and we went in for a World Series this year, I wouldn't be upset. I'd be like, wow, this is awesome. We're going for a World Series. We mean business. We're actually trying to win. I just think the package you can get for him, And I was, I think it was on 97.1 this morning, they were talking about the Phillies and how Dombrowski's so known for just throwing prospects away to win. You could trade Scooble there, you might be able to get back enough to make it worthwhile.
Would we get any everyday players, though?
There's a guy that just, I think he's a year removed from Tommy John surgery, and so he's, you know, basically Scooble, but 4 or 5 years ago or whatever, and he's throws in the triple digits. He's 6'7". They were saying his, I can't remember, it was
6'7".
6'7". Yeah, it's Andrew something. I can't remember what they were saying, but.
Why would they give him away? I don't understand. I mean, they're saying that he, I heard the same thing.
Yeah.
It was right after I called. And I don't know why Philly would give that up. I really don't. Yeah. I mean, this kid, they're saying he's a stud prospect. I don't see why Dombrowski. I mean, first of all, show of hands, do you miss Dave Dombrowski? I do.
I love Dave Dombrowski. Yeah. Dave Dombrowski made a couple of the best trades in the history of Detroit sports, for sure.
I don't. But yeah, I heard the same thing. I don't know why they would give up a future Scooble for Scooble. I mean, again, but that then goes against what I'm my angst with
Mr. Harris.
Yeah, but it sounds I can't like even say his
your
name.
Biggest problem with this is less that we actually signed Scooble. It's just the impression it gives everybody else, because let's face it, we don't want Scooble for a 10-year deal. It's going to turn into Miguel Cabrera all over again, right?
Miguel Cabrera.
And then even if we do, absolutely, isn't the problem that whoever takes him is going to have to sign him too after a year?
Well, yep. There's certain teams, though, that would, and I think the Phillies are. Well, the Phillies make sense. I do think the Phillies would turn around and sign him to the long year deal after making a trade like that.
I don't think anyone gives up the prospects unless they have the deal already done. So my thought is Scooble, I think, knows, is smart enough to know that there's a chance that he gets hurt in the next couple of years. And I think Scooble is trying to get that contract, that long-term contract. I think we trade with the Phillies, and if Boris can get the deal that he thinks is the right deal for Scooble. Also, they were saying right down 97-1, I keep hearing this, there's a huge expectation that we're not going to play baseball in 2027. So they were saying Scooble probably wants a deal done before that lockout.
Yeah, the
happens.
CBA's coming up, and they don't have good feelings about.
Like, legitimately miss an entire year.
At least the start of it. I mean, I feel like they always threaten that, but yeah. Huh. I think part of it is the Dodgers and what they've done and how the other teams feel about it, in the sense that, you know, like the Ohtani contract, where he's making $2 million a year, but he's actually making like an average of whatever, because it's extended to the time my kids are 90 or whatever. Like, and then I don't know. I just think baseball to me is like.
Well, and Scherzer did that too with Nationals.
Yeah,
he did that too.
Do you think the baseball's headed to a salary cap at some point?
I think a salary floor.
I would love the idea of a salary floor.
I feel like that would. Well, maybe that's not what's going to happen, but I feel like that would fix more problems than the cap would. For me personally.
So to answer your question, Mark, that's, I think, what the... We just lost everything. All right. That would be, I think, what the owners would push for, but the players don't want that.
Yeah. So that's kind of the whole crux of the issue, I think. I think that's where they're not meeting in the middle right now.
I see.
Yeah.
So I absolutely, to circle back, I think Scott Harris at these winter meetings should be shopping and should be seeing what he can get. I have very little faith that Scott Harris seems to be very inept at this part of the job. I have very little faith that he would come up with a package that we would all find acceptable. And then think about, it's going to be even less at the trade deadline. I mean, if we're still stuck with, I shouldn't say stuck with, but if we still have Scooble in July, maybe we're 5 games up, maybe we're 5 games down. There's going to be a lot of talk about, well, where do we go from there? I don't have much faith that Harris is going to execute anything. And then how would you guys feel if we go through this season and he just walks at the end of the season?
Let me just get the arbitrate, the compensatory pick?
That, yeah.
Which is basically the 35th pick or something like that.
I think that's the most likely scenario.
Do you really? Like, you don't think?
I think of all scenarios, like scenario one is we sign him to the 10-year, $400 million deal. Scenario two is we trade him this winter, which I think is the best-case scenario, or trade him at the trade deadline. If we're five games under 500 and, like, in third place in the Central for whatever reason, I think everybody would look at Scott Harris and say, hey, you clearly need to trade Scooble. And he's messed up every trade deadline so far.
Especially the Rodriguez, like all that stuff. That was
that last. Oh, my gosh. None of those guys were still on the roster by the end of the season, were they?
Yeah. So out of thinking about all those possible scenarios, I think the most likely is Scott Harris doesn't get anything done and Scooble just walks to free agency.
Part of me, though, knows, like, if you're thinking, if you're Scott Harris, you also have to be aware of where you are at with that, too. Like, you know that you can't let that just, like, the compensatory situation happen. I mean, I guess, again, unless you really do go all in this year, and I think that's the only defensible way to do that, is you go all in, let's say we get, you know, further, we get to the ALCS and you lose, I could swallow that. I wouldn't be happy about it, but I could respect the fact that we did. You know, maybe you re-sign Gleyber Torres, and maybe you go get Bo Bichette.
So let's spend some money, in other words.
That's what I'm saying. If you spend the money and didn't re-sign Scooble and went for it and didn't get it, I could respect that. I could be okay with that and be bummed that it didn't work out how you wanted, but I could respect.
But then we should have made those moves this year. Oh, yeah,
100%.
Because then you would have had 2 years.
That's why I think he's getting traded, because I don't think – to me, there's no logical way to defend going into the season with the lineup we have right now and having Scooble on your lineup without a re-signed contract. There's nothing. I just can't think of any reason why that makes sense. So you either go all in or you trade him. And even if I don't know. I mean, I think also, like they were saying on the radio, Boris and Scooble are in a tough spot too, because they do want to get this done too, you know? So I don't know.
Well, yeah,
there's a possibility he blows his arm out in April and he's out of luck.
That might be the worst case scenario, that we don't even get him for a season.
Mark, what do you think?
Again, I don't mean to repeat myself, but it scares me. I would be excited at first that we signed him, because I think he might be one of the greatest pitchers to ever put on a Tigers uniform, but it worries me that we'd be saddled with that contract forever.
Yeah.
10 years?
But, you know, it's everybody compares it to the Lions, and when you make these types of decisions in the NFL, it absolutely stops you from paying other guys. That is not true in baseball. And we are, if we signed him to the deal, the $400 million 10-year, that would move the Tigers to the middle of the pack. It wouldn't, it's not like
that's
we would
the scary
be,
part.
We would just be like an average payroll.
That's
so there's
the
nothing to stop
part.
Us from still spending money on top of that.
Yeah, we were like 143. I was looking at it last night. We were 143 million, which was 17th overall. If we went to
at the end of this season,
like 12.
And what are the Dodgers? Like over 400 million?
Like 385.
The Blue Jays and the Dodgers put together are over $600 million.
Good Lord.
So it's almost like spending
the Tigers
money increases your chances of going to the World Series.
So with the contracts coming off the books this year, the Tigers are at $90 million.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's criminal.
So
it's criminal.
The Cabrera deal,
isn't that before,
did make sense when we did it. Why? Because at the time, that was setting us up for multiple attempts at a World Series. And everybody knew going in, oh, the back end of that isn't going to make sense. When would paying a player like Scooble make sense? When you are the favorite to win the division. You know what I mean?
Right.
Again and again.
The biggest argument there is that you paid that money to a guy that played every single day compared to you paying a...
But you're making it seem like you can't do both. You can do both.
No. I agree with you. First of all, let me state, I agree with you almost 1,000%. I have no faith in Scott Harris. He's going to screw this up. He's going, because he has been, and I've heard this, I've read this, he is by far by the MLB executives who have worked with him and try to do deals with him, he's the most irresponsible, unruly kind of... He asks for the moon and stars and will not go down.
Okay.
They said, can't work with this guy. He's so...
He sees what he wants, and he's not backing off.
So, like, my fear is that the Dodgers will call him and say, hey, we want Scooble. What can we do to get Scooble? And he's going to be like, I want Shohei, and I want Mookie.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, okay, seriously. I want Shohei, and I want Mookie. And that's going to be him because he doesn't live in reality. He's too busy polishing his knob because he's at the Little Caesars headquarters. I don't know what he's thinking. I think he's everything we've wanted him to do in the last 3 years, he hasn't done. He's done the opposite. We should re-sign Scooble last year. Nope. And if this report's true, even though it's crazy to think 4 years at under $80 million, but it's so crazy, it could be true.
Yeah.
Because who would think of that? Who would think, hey, we're gonna throw this out to show how bad they are? If Boris said, throw this number out, someone would have said, Scott, that is, even John Heyman would say, I can't print that. You know, if you're just making that up, I can't print that because that's crazy numbers. There's no way. That's my fear is that number was true.
I'm curious if it is. I was reading something. There's people that have speculated for a long time that Heyman and Boris work together.
Yeah, but again, what I'm saying is throwing out a number that ridiculous really brings up the questions of, come on, don't make stuff up.
Yeah.
No, we're not. That was the number, okay? But that just gets to Harris. I mean, during the season, we need a bat. We don't get a bat. We need a quality, you know, high leverage reliever. Kyle Finnegan. I don't know. We could use another arm. Chris Paddock and Charlie Morton, who weren't on our roster.
Dude, the Monteros were my new Michael Badgley, the kicker. Watching the Monteros come out on the mound was like just stabbing.
Yeah. So you have that. You have last offseason. Okay, hey, we made the playoffs. We're going to get ourselves a bat. We got some money. They make an all-in play for Alex Bregman, and they have no plan B. That's a dereliction of duty. You sign Gleyber Torres. Okay.
That was a good contract.
That's fine. I have no problem with that. Hey, Blind Squirrel finds another once in a while. But you double that up with signing Alex Cobb, who doesn't pitch.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
You know he's hurt.
Think about how much better it would have been.
He knows he's hurt, and he signs him.
Yeah.
The last, and then you have the other, you trade Jack Flaherty at the last second. Okay, you got a couple prospects. This guy's so in love with prospects and kids, it's almost frightening and worries me. What was that?
Oh, I'm glad.
Oh. Again, since his tenure here, he has done nothing. He got caught with his pants down with the Eduardo Rodriguez deal.
He's handled every trade deadline poorly. He's not good at that.
He hasn't done great in the offseason either. He hasn't done anything well.
He's good at drafting.
We trade for those catchers that we have.
But here's the thing. They're saying, oh, yeah, great farm system, top 10. You know, you look at your top 10, where are the arms? There's no arms. We got bats. We have no arms. Last time I checked, you need pitching. So what are we doing with that? And like today on the radio, they go, well, they got Melton. Yeah, Melton's good. He's not a number one. So if you get rid of...
He's a good pitcher, though.
Good pitcher. Hey, we need a good pitcher. But yeah, I'm saying, right. If I said to you, Mark, we're going to get rid of Tarek Skubal. Don't worry. We got Melton. You're going to say, Corey, you're on crack. So I agree with you. I think Harris is going to screw this up. Scooble's going to walk away. We get nothing but a compensatory pick, which is like wet nap after eating a whole bunch of ribs. You know, it doesn't do any good. So I have absolutely no faith in this man.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think there's a lot of ways this could end that
and
we're
every
be
day
happy.
That there's news that comes out, I just hate this man more and more and more. I hate him more than Avila did. I didn't have this hate for Al Avila.
Avila, that's right.
Yeah. I didn't have this kind of hate for it. I just looked at Avila and go, what a poor schlub. You know, he's a dope, but you know, this guy, because I hate the
worse
arrogance.
Than Matt Millen?
No.
That's a tough one.
Not even close. But I hate the arrogance. That's the part that gets me.
If what you're saying is true about his inability to negotiate, that's not good.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
At least Avila was good at part of his job. He was a good scout. I mean, he scouted Miguel Cabrera, you know, so he just didn't work out. And honestly, some of the stuff we've gotten from Avila actually ended up working out pretty nice for
him. That's what our team is. Our team is basically Avila's guys.
I think you can't judge.
Scoobal was Avila
that's
guy.
That's what James is saying.
But you do have to wait on Scott Harris's prospects. I mean, you have to see what Max Clark is. You have to see what Rainer is. McGonigal looks like a steal, you know. So you do have to wait and see what those people are. But they could also turn out to be nothing. I mean, Torkelson was a sure thing, and he didn't work. I mean, he's okay. I mean, take him.
Okay, you become the GM of the Tigers. What's the first thing you do?
I go to these winter meetings saying who can give me the best package. That is the first thing I do.
Yeah, I trade Scooble.
At the same time, I'm paying attention to what free agent bats, especially infielder, especially one more outfielder, are available. And I have a backup plan for how I'm going to spend this $400 million that is earmarked for Scooble, because it's going to look, you got to also remember being the GM is a bit of a political job too. And Detroit is going to be asking, okay, if we're not getting Scooble, what do you have to show for it? So you better come up with something else that you're spending this money on.
Don't we have the most leverage now too than we would at the trade deadline?
Absolutely.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. You're not going to get anything at the trade deadline.
And so that, okay. And then also bullpen help. Look at these teams that are powering through the playoffs.
This is why the Dodgers are struggling, because they don't have a bullpen right now.
And they spend so much money on their bullpen in the offseason.
I'm signing Bo Bichette. That's my, because the thing is he actually hits for average. We don't have anyone that can do that. I mean, our highest average was, was it Dingler at like 270?
Yeah. All right, so here's what I'm doing. And this is, I've told a couple people my dad thinks I'm on some serious drugs. So I would be going into I'd knock on the door of the Pirates hotel room and go in.
You want Paul Skeens?
Just listen. And I give them a list of our 100 prospects, and I'd say you get two from the top 15. You get one from, you get five. Here's your buffet. Here's five. I want Skeens. Take it.
What's his contract right now?
The only one you can't have, and I'd make sure McGonigal's name's off that list. You want Max Clark, you can have Max Clark. You want one of our catchers, you can have one of our catchers. That's fine. You have two of our top 10.
It's the way the Pirates play ball. So
right. Because.
Speaking their language.
But what I'm also not doing, I'm not trading Scooble. I'm going to let him go.
Oh, I thought Scooble was.
No. I'm going to keep Scooble, because now what I have next season, I've got Tarik Scooble and I got Paul Skeens. Here's my one and two. Here's my one and 1A.
So there's your all in
for. Because you know what? I'm going to go for broke here. And that 400, I still have that earmarked. And I'm going to say to Tarik, you're leaving next year. But get ready, because we're going to throw you out there.
Pal. I look at that though from the Pirates' perspective, but your political. That's a I'm getting fired, I feel like, thing where it's like how do you sell that to your players? Because Skeens is such an icon. Like even just having him on your team brings so much revenue.
That's why you give them a load of prospects, and I don't care what happens with Pittsburgh. I'm just saying I'm going to give them prospects so that they can't say no.
There's nothing wrong with picking up the phone.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask. He'll
never do it.
Right.
I guarantee
Andrew, he'll never do it, Andrew but Chafin, that's what I would do.
Andrew Chafin because will be then a Tiger next year.
You've got Skeens for another 3-4 years. On the rookie contract.
That was my question. What is his
contract? Yeah, I think it's at least three.
He's got at least 3 years. Oh, so you got him 3 years. So, okay, Scooble's gone. Now I just, whoop, you're now our number one. And now he'll probably be our number one this year. Could you imagine a playoff series where your number one pitcher is Scooble, the next day you got Paul Skeens?
It sounds like how I play MLB on my Xbox.
And I know. I know, exactly. So that's what I would do.
My shall issue, we, not to be that guy, but let's should be, we move on to
yes,
the
let's go to happy
before,
times. Happy times.
We run out of time,
the
guys.
Detroit Lions.
I just want to predict real quickly, Andrew Chafin will be a Tiger again. And remember, he's the guy we had like twice already?
Yeah.
Because Scott Harris loves
he
to
looked
go,
like a homeless guy.
He loves to go to the Bargain Barrel.
He was a homeless guy. He lived in a trailer in the country in Ohio on somebody's farm. He was practically homeless.
He would drive up from like Toledo for
a wasn't that Daniel Norris?
He was also homeless.
Okay.
We got two homeless. It's a trend with Tigers pitchers.
They both lived in trailers. Someone that we signed this year, I can't remember, I read an article about it, signed a lease for Andrew Chafin's spot in the campground, whatever campground he was in. So
just
it's like
to say he
it's like no, I think it's like he liked living in his trailer. Like I think they're getting these are probably really nice like RVs.
Down
like,
by the river.
You know.
It is down by the river.
All right, Lions. First of all, let's play GM. You're Brad Holmes now. Trade deadline next Tuesday. Mark, what are you doing?
I think you got to go for Trey Hendrickson. I do. I really legitimately think that they could do that and get a cornerback. I would love for them to do it. I would.
I'm on board with what Mark just said. That's because they basically need, what I would say.
This is their window right now. They may have another year, perhaps. Maybe a couple of years, actually, with these signings lately.
Did Hendrickson get hurt, though?
Yes, he is currently hurt. He is not playing this weekend.
All right, I get it even more, like, depending on what his injury is, because you get to look at...
cheaper.
It's definitely cheaper.
When you get to look at the injury, like, they don't just blindly get it. You get to see what you want to see, right? So, I
would... And Holmes does like injured guys.
Yeah, I know. Well, I checked out. The thing is, you don't really...
Especially if you're a rusher, edge rusher.
You don't need Trey Hendrickson right now. You need him... in January, in December. Right. So get him now. Let him rest up. Get him on the cheap for, you know, what do you think, a third-round pick? Second-round pick?
I think second.
Okay.
You think he's that expensive? How old is he?
32.
Look it up.
He's 32? He's not going to cost a second-round pick if he's 32.
Especially he's
a rental, so it doesn't really matter how old he is.
But I'm just saying he's not going to be a second round pick because he's an expiring contract. Second round pick, yeah, that would be you got him for three more years.
Yeah,
they're going to be like, no, you got to pay a little extra. That's that extra tax there because you're going to have him for 3 years. No, he's gone after this season. Yeah.
You need secondary help, whether it's a safety or a corner. You need because the thing is, Brian Branch can play any position. So
I say you go for two. Offer Cincinnati three picks. You get Hendrickson and Dax Hill.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with all this, but Holmes' track record, it's very similar to the conversations we were just having about the Tigers.
We asked for Zadarius last year, and he got us Zadarius.
But of all of the options, Zadarius was the cheapest.
What was that, a fifth-round pick that cost?
He was also the only one that was really available at the time.
I suppose that's true.
I think everyone's kind of available.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree with you.
Do you think defensive line help is more important or cornerback?
I think corner, personally, for me. I think we need to – I don't know what Terrion Austin is.
Specifically, an edge rusher. It's hard to say. We absolutely need both if we're going to make a serious deep run in the playoffs.
I think an edge right now at corner is important, clearly, because we have so many injuries. But the way we're playing defense, it seems like defensive line help makes our secondary.
Yep. Edge will take care of the back end.
That's kind of the way I feel about that. We can get with subpar guys, or at least not top stars. Right?
I'd also call Miami.
For,
is it Jalen? They got two guys.
Jalen Ramsey?
No, not Jalen Ramsey. No,
that guy on the D-line. Miami's D-line is solid.
There's two. Bradley Chubb I think his name's like Jalen Johnson or something like that. But they both have like four or five sacks, and Miami just fired their GM today.
Well, yeah, and what's his face? Their coach is going to stick around for the rest of the year.
Yeah, but the GM's gone. So now you got – so, I mean, they're in – they're in, yeah, it's
or I mentioned it in the text, Jermaine Johnson from the Jets is a serviceable D-line guy.
I honestly think you see what's available with both, right? I think you can make the same argument you guys made about the line, but with the cornerbacks, right? If you look at the game a couple games ago when we were playing all the backups, they were playing
the Legion of whom?
Yeah, some of those sacks were cornerbacks. I mean, they were coverage sacks.
Absolutely.
You know, it happens that way too. So I feel like you just got to see what's available and what's the prices that you have to pay. The bottom line is you can never have too many defensive linemen.
No, I agree.
You can never have too many cornerbacks. You're gonna they just all get hurt a lot. You need as many. It's just like wide receivers. You just need a lot of them, you know? So you just got to see. The problem is like I fear it's, you know, last year we needed an edge rusher, right, because Hutchinson had gone down. We didn't do anything. But then you had more injuries too, right? You had Aleem McNeil. It, football, the place of where they put the deadline to me makes no sense to have it so early. They need to move it back, you know, four or five weeks.
When is the official deadline?
It's next Tuesday.
It's next week, yeah.
Tuesday?
Next Tuesday.
You just don't know what you need yet. I don't know. I feel like it would make the sport way more interesting if they made it, you know, week later. What week are we in right now?
Nine.
If you made it like week.
I mean, you're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
And I think you do that because in football you need to have more time for an impact player rather than like in baseball. You know, you got 2 months left, and then, you know, off you go. You got to get ingrained. You got to know just the way the format is, you know, the schemes and all that. You got to be there a little longer. Yeah,
that's fair.
But, I would say you've got – I just don't want them to do what Harris did with Bregman, which was after that, I have nothing else. That was the only thing I was going for. Holmes is – and I don't see Holmes like that. Holmes is going to have – okay. We're going after this guy. Nope, not that didn't work. I'm going to go after this guy. Oh, that didn't work. You know, he's going to have a few. But also, he's not going to mortgage. He's not going to mortgage.
He certainly is not.
Yeah, but the
issue is we don't have any third-round picks next year.
Yeah, I just think the hard thing
because they're all in number 18. Tesla.
Yeah.
But you look at the teams that have won the Super Bowl, they a large percentage of them have traded their like earlier picks to get things for their team. I mean, look what the Rams.
Oh, I agree. Did.
Like, it's just
Philadelphia Eagles. Howie Grossman does it all.
Yeah,
the time.
He does it all the time. It's like the precedent is there. It shows what you need to do. And now I'm not saying that's the only way that you can win.
No,
the Super Bowl, but it seems like to me, he's so good at drafting that to me the first round pick you can make that up later with your second and third and fourth round picks. Now, not always, but
and you know what I thought was interesting. I saw the other night they showed everyone's contract extensions that they've just resigned. Mm-hmm. They're all 4 years. The only one that's 3 years is J-Mo. But everyone else is 4 years.
I thought that was interesting. I didn't love the J-Mo resign.
So that contract, though, when you read it, is a little better than I thought it was. It's so much of the money is not guaranteed. It's performance-based. And he's done very little performing.
The part that I'm trying to...
But he's a good decoy.
That's the thing is, that's what I have to keep telling myself is, and part of it, he's on my fantasy team. It's been real frustrating. But it's like, when he gets zero receptions, how many of Amon-Ra's receptions does he get to share some of the responsibility for? Because he dragged...
I'd say 75%.
You know, he's dragging two D-backs with him, and then Amon-Ra can get...
I think the defense is so afraid of him taking the top off that... And again, I mean, you can't double team St. Brown because you do that.
You can't leave.
You got J-Mo. You know, so I mean, I think Laporta's season and most of St. Brown's season is because of what J-Mo brings and the fear that he brings to the defense.
Laporta's had a good season. It's been fun watching him.
Yeah, he's been great. So all right, we got 10 games left. What's your prediction?
Hey, look at the schedule.
What?
All right, first game is Vikings, so we play Vikings.
Are we 6-2 right now?
Five and two,
okay.
10 games left. We start off with the Vikings at home this weekend.
I think we're going to take an absolute
we win this week.
Dump on
McCarthy
the
back for his first game. Yeah.
McCarthy's not good.
I actually really like the – when I'm betting the NFL, whenever I see more than 7 points, my instinct is always to take the points. And the Lions are favored by 8, and I feel like that should be more like 11.
Yeah,
I think I would easily lay the 8 points.
Yeah, I would too. Because here's the thing: is like, I just feel like we can just dink and dunk them the whole time. Like, yeah. I think you can wear them down. You just keep letting Gibbs and Montgomery run the ball. I just don't think that they have an answer for our offense. And honestly, J.J. McCarthy hasn't played in, 5 weeks? And he looked terrible the first couple weeks of the season.
I think Aiden is going to maul him.
Yeah, I think
like
so,
like, they're former teammates. I'm sure Aiden is excited about this.
Great point. Yeah.
I think an underrated thing that I didn't hear a lot of people talking about was this is Aleem McNeil's second game back. Like, he's back.
Yeah.
Think about it. He's only going to get better. He's probably not even close.
He made such an impact in that Tampa game. He was just destroying the inside of that line.
And there's also no way he's back to 100% game speed and like back to like, you know, feeling it the way that he was before he got hurt last year. So he's going to get better and better. And I think you could have made an argument at points of last year that he was more impactful for us than Hutchinson was. I know Hutchinson was,
I agree.
Was amazing.
I agree.
But he's just like J-Mo opens up for St. Brown. McNeil opens up sacks for Hutchinson because they have totally the double agree. Team in the middle, yep. and then he can come around the edge.
All right, so then they play the Commanders.
Commanders aren't what they were.
No.
They're not playing well.
They're going to be heavily focused for that game.
I mean, they're back, but I'll tell
they're
you
playing
what,
in Donovan Washington.
Shepard knows how to handle these running quarterbacks.
Yes, he does.
He really has adjusted that defense. Like, they did it again last week or the previous week where Hutch backs off. Like, go ahead, try and run. And let the secondary take care of it. I just they're planning well. They're game planning.
Yeah.
I think Calvin Shepard's a better DC than Aaron. Yeah.
Sadly,
he's impressive.
Well, sadly, the way impressive. That he's being our defensive coordinator is, we might need to find a new one in a couple of years.
I know.
I agree.
He's going to leave again. Like,
you almost want people to not talk.
Well, that's
about
a good problem
this.
To have, I guess.
Yeah. I guess. You
know. Another pick for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They win that
that's
game.
True.
Philadelphia then.
It's hard to not be intimidated by the Eagles. And I know they've had a couple games this year where especially offensively they've looked a little inept. But it's hard to – and that's in Philly.
Yeah.
I mean
– it's another primetime game.
Yeah.
I think it's a coin flip legitimately, but I wouldn't put my money on it. I figure
I think it's just a major heavyweight fight and –
think they
I would be okay
if we lost that game.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised they win. I honestly.
Yeah.
Not win. I think we can beat any. We can score on
the only thing, James, I agree with you. I just don't want it to end up like how the Kansas City. I mean, I was a little disappointed with the way they lost that one. But, I mean, again, they had a lot of people injured. By that time, you're going to have, you should have most of your secondary back.
Yeah, I mean, when we looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year, there were some brutal games on this schedule. Really
I think
the
I think
Chiefs
Trey,
on the road, the Ravens on the road,
but remember,
the Eagles
we'll also have
on
Trey
the road.
Hendrickson
and another quarterback.
And Miles Garrett.
So
I think Lawrence Taylor's coming out of retirement, too.
They're not going to win every game that we have. You know, no, we're not going 15-2 again. You lose. You just hope the ones they lose are the ones that you're okay with them losing, right?
I'd rather have them lose this one and win the next one, which is – Thanksgiving Packers.
We need to win the divisional games.
No, we've got the Giants in there first.
Giants still win.
Okay, like I said, the next one, the Packers.
They're going to have a lot of reasons to win that game against the Packers.
Yes.
Because they were embarrassed at first.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, their two losses, I think, especially Green Bay, you've got to win. I mean, if you're going to say you're going to win and lose one of these games, Philly – in Green Bay, which one are you going to want? I want the Green Bay win.
Well, I mean,
that means more.
We want the division.
And the division.
Got to beat the Packers.
Yeah. Right. So
that's pretty much a must-win game. Plus, that is the only must-win game on our schedule.
Absolutely. Without question.
I mean, one of the big issues with our Packers game was our guards looked terrible, and they've looked pretty solid.
Yeah.
Since.
I mean that was rookies playing their first ever game.
I mean.
Well, and that goes to the idea of the, you know, how much you play in preseason.
Yeah, and
that really showed.
Yeah, it sure did.
Those guys needed a few downs in preseason. You never, and you didn't give them any, and none of them played, and it showed.
Plus, Taylor Decker will be back by then. Heck, he might even be back this week.
Yeah.
And Glasgow's not a center. I mean, I know he's our center, but he's not really a center.
Right. Well, he was in college.
He was a guard in college.
Oh, was
he?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he played a little center. I think he would rotate back and forth, but I think he's better at the guard position.
Who was after? Isn't it Dallas?
No, a Thursday night game. Dallas so be low scoring.
Dallas is one of those though that like they can sneak up on you.
Bet
Dallas
the over.
Has looked amazing.
Bet the over on that one. Bet the over.
So Dallas last year was terrible because of their offensive line, and they drafted offensive linemen. They invested money in their offensive line, and kind of like what the Lions did with the way we revamped our offensive line. There were a lot of question marks, and I didn't expect. Dallas's offensive line has been like a top five offensive line. And the way they're running the ball, the way they're throwing the ball, their defense can't stop anybody.
Right, that's the problem. Their defense is boute. So that's what I'm saying. Bet the over.
That would be a fun game to go to.
And they're
Thursday night game.
They're home.
We might have to get together for that one.
Game. So that puts us, assuming that it goes to plan here, 6-2, 7-2, 7-3, 8-3, 9-3. They win that, they're 10-3.
Okay.
They're going to lose to the Rams.
Yeah, I feel the same way. That Rams game is super scary. Having those two elite wide receivers, and we've beaten Stafford. Have we played him three times since he was a Ram?
Something like that.
And have we won all three?
I don't know. No. I think 2-1.
2-1.
Yeah. 2-1.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel the Rams' defense has been better than we thought they would be. And even if we do add to our secondary a little bit, I mean, Stafford has looked so good against subpar secondaries that you just got to take Devontae Adams and Puka. And that's in L.A.
That is
a brutal game. I think we're going to lose that one as well.
So I think it's going to be close, though.
I think every game is going to be close to the Lions. Yeah. Let's face it. I think the Lions can legitimately win a Super Bowl.
I agree.
Especially if they get a little bit of help. Well, I agree. Because if they're healthy, that defense is actually playing well.
And our offensive line has got to stay healthy.
Everybody
has to stay healthy, but
You got the Steelers next. They win. I feel like that's a win.
And that's at home? That's at home, right?
Steelers at home.
That's 11-4. Vikings
again.
Mm-hmm. So then it's Vikings and then Bears.
Yes. They'd be 13-4.
Wow. Yeah.
I did not think that's this was a 13-4 season.
Winning all of the games they're supposed to win, which does not usually happen in the NFL. But even if we drop one of these games that look like a win on paper,
that's a 12-5.
I mean,
I'm happy we're 12-5.
Poised to be a high seed. It kind of depends on what we do with the Packers game. We can win a lot of these games, and if we lose to Green Bay twice, then we're, a wild card team. Yeah. That's a much different situation in the playoffs.
Part of me is okay with that, though. I mean, we had a bye last year, and we didn't do anything.
Sometimes
for
I wonder if the bye isn't always the best thing.
I think we needed the bye last year, though.
Yeah.
Well, because of injuries. But, that whole it's such a game of momentum.
It is.
Having a good game in the first round, carry that on to the next
round.
Well,
yeah, I mean, if we're healthy this year, if we're healthier going into that playoff, let's play first week.
Bring it on, man.
Bring it on, absolutely.
I also don't
last year it was like we needed that just to...
I know.
Those poor... Because remember, the bye week for them was week 5.
Oh, my God, I know.
It was so crazy. Yeah,
I also don't think they sleep on... I mean, that loss to the Commanders, that wakes you up for the following year. Like, you're going to go extra, especially Campbell. He's going to make sure even more so that, we're not sleeping on whatever team we're playing in the playoffs, right? You're ready to go. Can't overlook anyone, right? I mean, that was a terrible
feeling. So frustrating last year. And it was like we kept winning. We just kept winning games. And then it just, the floor fell out of us, out from under us against the
Commanders. Do we win the Super Bowl? Because who knows when we're going to get back together on this. We got to do a playoff one.
I wouldn't be surprised they make the Super Bowl and lose the Super Bowl. But I think they could win it. I don't know.
Much like I said last year, I got a PTO day saved for that Super Bowl parade. Actually, I don't, because they're all for paternity leave.
Would you bet that they win the Super Bowl? Can they beat the Chiefs again? Let's face it, the Chiefs are probably going to make it again the way they're playing.
It's hard to answer that question before the trade deadline. If we were doing this podcast a week from now when we saw what moves were made. I don't look around the NFC and see any other team that's, really superior to us on paper. So I kind of agree with Mark that I think getting to the Super Bowl, if the, chips and the injuries fall our way, I think that's – I feel like we have as good a chance as any team in the NFC. When I look at the teams in the AFC, I mean, I feel like the Bills still terrify me a little bit. We didn't play a great game against the Chiefs, so it's kind of hard to look at how we played against the Chiefs and say, yeah, I'm confident that if we had another shot at them, we'd beat them. But I do feel like getting to the Super Bowl is like a next level for the Lions. I mean, just to say the Lions in the Super Bowl in the same sentence still.
Yeah, to get your name out of the list with the Browns and the Jaguars and the Texans of teams that haven't made it would be nice to not be there anymore.
I kind of have to pinch myself to think that if we make it to the NFC title game and lose, this season's a disappointment. It's never happened like that. As a Lions fan, for 50 years, that's never happened. It's Super Bowl or bust. I'm not saying Super Bowl win. Super Bowl or bust. If they don't make it to the Super Bowl, it was a disappointing season.
2 years ago, I remember at halftime.
In oh, my
the
God.
Championship, looking at my daughter going, honey, I think we're going to the Super Bowl. And then it just so did not.
Yeah. I think every Lions fan convinced themselves, at least for a little, that they somehow jinxed it. Like, I know for me, I went and moved our recycling bins in, and I'm like, well, they were out there for the other one. What if we lose because of this? And then we lost, and I was like, it was me.
I was watching the first half of that game at my brother's house, and my parents were there, and I left at halftime.
Oh.
And the second half, everyone's texting me, you shouldn't have left. Oh. Why did you leave?
The thing is I think this year, one of those teams, the Eagles, the Lions, or Tampa, is going out early again. There's just so much inconsistency. And I'm not saying it's the Lions, but I'm saying there's so much inconsistency with some of these teams in the NFC that, like, sometimes, you know, like the Packers. Packers are terrible one week and then great another week.
Especially offensively.
Well, and the scary thing is, I mean, you were talking about the, you know, getting the bye and all that. Yeah. If you are that top-seeded team that has to play on the first week, you're getting usually the hottest team coming into the playoffs.
Yeah. That's very true.
And that's what happened last year. Yeah. And that's, you know, so that's the scary part also is, we want to keep momentum going, but also we're going to be, I mean, no matter who you play, it's not going to be a hot team. You're going to be getting the hottest team basically.
I love the idea that a running quarterback doesn't scare me anymore.
Does anyone
I'll get used to?
Yeah. Does anyone know? Remember at the end of the season last year when the Vikings and Lions were playing as 15 that they were trying to pass the new rule to make it so that whoever turned got the wild card and that wouldn't have to play an away game? I don't know if that got passed or not.
That was something Campbell brought up. He was just like that's not fair.
But it got proposed to the.
It got proposed. I don't know
if it passed or not.
No, I don't think they did.
Real quickly, the Red Wings.
Give us your...
Dude, the big thing I think is that they're getting production from, like, some no-name guys.
Okay.
So Emmett Finney was the seventh rounder from 2 years ago that they got, and I was just reading an article about
him. I love his work.
Yeah. Like, 4 years ago, or maybe 5 years ago, when he was, like, really, you know, he's 20 right now, so he was, like, 15, 14 years old. He was, like, 5'8", and then he just started growing and growing, and he was on no one's radar because he was never getting first-line minutes. And Draper, who's the scout, obviously you know who Draper is, but, you know, he's our head scout. He was going to watch these other guys, saw him, drafted him. This guy's on our top line now. Wow. He's playing first-line minutes. A seventh-rounder playing in the NHL 2 years after getting drafted is, like, unheard of.
And on the top line.
Yeah, and Yzerman hasn't really had any of it. He's done well with his first-round picks, but he hasn't hit on anything late. And so if he can hit on some of those and not just have the first-rounders contributing. The other thing is our pro scouts have been terrible during Yzerman. They've been giving
now,
some garbage.
You don't think he's a Chris Shelton kind of red pop kind of thing?
Oh,
where
I think it's always
after,
possible. It's
after
been 10 games.
10, 20 games all of a sudden.
Yeah, you never know, right? But, like, the thing, you know, that's slightly different is it's not like he's just hitting home runs like Chris Shelton was. He's playing this grimy physical style of, like he's a fourth-line grinder who's just making it work on the first line. So even if he doesn't keep producing points, like right now for Larkin and Raymond – the thing is that they need someone to be like a Tyler Bertuzzi to go get the puck for them. And that's what this guy's doing because he's big-bodied, he's physical, he'll go into the corners, get the puck out for them. And that's what you need.
He was 5'8".
He was something crazy. Like they were saying like he was barely – he was drafted in the fourth round of the Bantam draft, which is like before you go to juniors, it's like the next level. Which like if you're going that low, you're not being predicted as like a – you might make the NHL, but it'd be like – I mean, anyone being a seventh-round pick means that you – have little to no shot of making it to the NHL.
Wow.
They almost have gotten rid of the seventh round, like, over the past couple of years because it produces such a little amount of NHL players. More people make it to the NHL being undrafted than they do making it on a seventh round pick. Hmm. I'm guessing that's because a lot of those undrafted people keep growing later and then they develop more strength.
Well, they're becoming fun to watch.
Yeah.
There's no question about
That's all I want to do. Like, they were fun for the part of the season last
year. Tonight will be interesting to watch them play against Anaheim with the goaltender.
Yeah, they had the...
How's the goaltender that they signed in the offseason?
Gibson?
Both...
They traded for Gibson.
Oh, they traded for Gibson.
But then they also have the guy from Los Angeles who played last night.
They're both, like... I think, is Gibson the one that's 38 and Talbot's 32, or it's vice versa? I can't remember. They're both, like, good, but, like...
Okay.
I think
Gibson's issue is injuries.
Yeah.
Gibson's injuries.
Let's just say it wouldn't shock me if at the end of the year the goaltending didn't end up being amazing, but I think right now it's working. And they haven't been able to win games earlier in the year, the past couple of years. So you're banking points no matter what, right? Mm. They have, I think.
Well, they just got to, you know, keep playing well until Chris Oscar gets healthy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or Manny Legacy.
Manny Legacy.
Oh, yeah. Those were the days. Curtis Joseph.
Hasek. No, who was the Russian? Dominic.
The Dominator.
He's Czech. He's Czech.
Czech Republic.
He hates
God, those are fun times.
He hates Russia.
Those are fun times.
He's like super...
I loved his mask.
Super outspoken against Russians and letting Russian
athletes play. Is that right? And here I call him a Russian.
I'm going to Fedorov's jersey retirement night on January 12th, I think.
Oh, good for you.
You are a fan, aren't you?
Well, my brother-in-law got tickets and was like, you guys want to go?
For you.
And I'm like, yeah.
That'd be fun.
Neat.
All right, guys. I think that's it.
All right, cool.
Until next time.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
You got it.